What is up, podcast listeners of This Week in the Rio Grande Valley and Alexa listeners? So, this is Eddie Picasso, and I am your host of This Week in the Rio Grande Valley. I'm going to change things up a bit for this week just because there's been so much going on. Casting that net so wide and been just connecting and building relationships and taking trainings. And the reason I want to point that out is just because today a real good question was asked on a client meeting, or actually a networking meeting, of just what is it? What is it that I'm doing? Because it seems like, and this is word for word what they told. Well, it's I may be paraphrasing just a little bit, but this is exactly what they told me. So what is it that you're doing? Because it seems like you're getting ready to do something. And I kind of giggled inside. It was kind of like an inside giggle. It was like, man, like, so my answer was just, I'm pretty much laying out the foundation of what my business is going to be, what my brand is going to be. So right now, everything that I'm doing, it's all the legwork as far as getting connected with people, reaching out, reconnecting with a lot of old acquaintances and business relationships and all that good stuff. And so all this social media is getting prepped up for just that, and being able to provide as much value as possible to as many people as possible. And that goes in every which way I can, from everything from motivation, inspiration, to being able to provide value to home sellers and home buyers. I'm not trying to do a sales pitch or anything. I'm just trying to explain exactly what is it that I'm trying to accomplish moving forward. And that being said, I kind of ran out of time as far as being able to go out. And that's kind of why I missed the episode for this Tuesday of this week. There's just been so much going on. It's been a wonderful week. Really, some large strides being done, and I'm super proud of everything I've been able to accomplish for this past week. And so, that being said, I kind of wanted to go a little bit retro on this episode, just because when I initially started doing these podcasts and this podcast and these podcast interviews, I interviewed some amazing people that I don't think I leveraged their ability, their value, what they brought to the table to its full potential. And I was in a different place at that time, and I was at a different objectives pretty much. And I was kind of trying to build an email list, and I was trying to do different things, and I was missing the point. I was missing being able to provide that value and being able to give and pay it forward as much as possible. So I decided that this episode, it's a super amazing recording, super amazing interview with the one and only Steven Larson from formerly from ClickFunnels, who's now got his own gig and doing some wonderful stuff as far as being able to find your niche market and the psychology behind consumer the policy, the principles. Let me try one more time, because I'm getting tongue twisted here. The principles behind consumer psychology, which I think it's super important, just because I've had to adapt and overcome and really learn a lot about the subject. And so I'm super grateful that he actually took time to actually sit down with me and ask or answer these questions for me. And I think that I did a disservice, a huge disservice. That was my mistake, and I really apologize for that. I want to make it up, because I cut that episode, that podcast episode, and it got aired when this podcast was actually named something different, and it was the Super Secret Side Hustle Hack Show. Like I said, it was a different objective at that time, and I've definitely evolved since then, and so has the podcast. So I want to bring it back, but I want to bring back the full episode. And I actually just made it live on YouTube as well, the full video, the full interview, so you can catch it on there as well. But I want to air it here just because I think I feel like I've done a disservice by playing the last time I played, I played only half of the episode, and then referred people to actually subscribe to an email list to be able to get the full episodes. And it was actually 3 episodes, which now I'm going to go back, I'm backtracking, and I'm going to air the full episodes on this podcast to be able to provide that full value that should have been done from the beginning. So this goes out from the bottom of my heart. my apologies, and I hope this makes up for it. So up next, you're going to get about close to half an hour of the interview with Mr. Steven Larson, the one and only Steven Larson, which is an amazing guy. The next couple of episodes is going to be Miss Cheryl Jacobs, which is she's amazing. She's a serial entrepreneur, brings so much to the table. And after that is Miss Dacelys Perez, who's also done amazing things, who's just released her book late last year, which is, if you haven't gotten it, you definitely have to have the, you definitely have to get it, just because it's so impactful. Not just their stories, but what they have done to their for their communities. And the reason I want to backtrack and implement this, I know this is this week in the Rio Grande Valley and it's focused in the Rio Grande Valley, but as I've mentioned before, I strongly believe that everything we do in life, whether it's business, it's work, our relationships at home, relationship with the kids, with the wife, our finances, whatever it is, every part of your life, every single part of your life is consists of 80% psychology and 20% skills. So it doesn't take much to get the things done that you need to get done. And if you don't know how to get them done, whether it's, like I said, business, finance, whatever it is, it doesn't take much to actually learn what you need to do, to learn the skills, just because we're living in the information age and the information is at the tip of your fingers, literally just by simple Google search or something like that. But a lot of it has to do, 80% of your success in every area of your life has to do with psychology, and I strongly believe in that. And more now that I'm currently tuning into the Master Key series by Napoleon Hill. So I think that all the three people that I interviewed early on in my podcast, which is Steven Larson, Cheryl Jacobs, and Dacelys Perez, they bring so much of that psychology, of that being able to get in the right mindset to be able to succeed in life and in every single part of your life, which ultimately consists of your life. So I hope you enjoy this. So first up, please help me welcome Mr. Steven Larson, formerly from ClickFunnels, now doing so many amazing things. And I hope you enjoy. So thanks for tuning in. I love you guys. Peace. All right, so hey everyone, welcome to the Secret Side Hustle Hack Show, helping side hustlers to succeed online in the online business and other important topics about creating wealth. So in today's interview, I have, it's going to be The Secret Dangers to Creating Wealth, and it's Steven Larson, reveals how every side hustler can succeed in online business. My name is Eddie Picasso, and today I'm talking with a sales funnel expert, Steven Larson, about tips, tricks, and secrets about side hustle shortcuts and that you can use to succeed towards creating wealth and get great results. So, Steven, got so many questions to ask you.
Bring it, man. Stump me. Let's do it.
Finally be able to talk to you one-on-one. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of background, education, experience in creating wealth and sales funnels, really?
Yeah, totally. I mean, so I was born 30 years ago, and just kidding, how far back do you want me to go? I don't know. So I started, building sales funnels before something like ClickFunnels ever existed, in WordPress and GetResponse. GetResponse has this like crappy page editor and, a long time ago they did. And, I don't know if they still do, but I was building it and I was feeling the pain of having to build funnels without being a coder, which sucked. And this was pre-ClickFunnels. And I saw this guy. He had this course called Dotcom Secrets X. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Anyways, I grabbed the course and I started going through it. And immediately I was like, this guy looks like he's like 12 years old. Does he even know what he's talking about? You know? And I was like, and it's Russell Brunson. And I started diving deeply into his courses, diving deeply into his stuff. And he was, life-changing for me, man. I was like, I started doing everything that he said, and suddenly like the 12 previous failures of businesses that I had been trying, I started having some successes. Right. And, despite all those past failures, and I started having some successes. I was in the middle of college, and it was cool because for me, like, we had such little cash. It was ridiculous. Like when my wife and I got married, I mean, it was literally like a, hey, do we have enough money to eat kind of thing? Like it was really intense. So I totally understand the whole side hustle mentality, you know, I guess it's, you know, having a business on the side. Because it's, I mean, you're running and gunning, you're trying to, you know, that something else exists and you know that you, you know, the opportunity to, gosh, I just, it's so funny the road that you go on to actually finally get it and then realize and look back like, oh crap, I could have skipped this and skipped that and I could have skipped this. And that's more important than that. And like, but you know, hindsight's 20/20. You don't know those things until you run. And I think that's, I don't know. I know you're not asking this question, but I feel like it's really, really cool when somebody can start running at their side hustle with the expectation of complete failure. Like, don't have any expectation of success. It actually can be a hindrance to you because of all the, you know, you got the inside voices, you're battling with yourself. Is this going to work? Is it worth it? And you got the outside voices of friends and family, maybe loved ones. And you're like, holy crap. I was running for this. At the time, I was following a guy. His name was Sean Terry. And he's a real estate guy. And I was following him. I was listening to him. And he had this concept called the shut up check. And the shut up check is the first check that you get to throw back in everyone's face when they're asking you, oh, is this the next big thing, Steven? Oh, is this is the one, isn't it? And you're like, boom, shut up. Because he got the shut up check. And I was like, all I wanted was my shut up check. And I was running and running and running and running. I told it, and I actually wrote a check in my wallet. Wherever my wallet is. I think I still have it. It's a check in there, though, for $50,000. And I future dated it to myself. And I was like, this is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's absolutely nuts. And it's funny because, like, that 50 grand, it's so funny how, like, if the perception seems to be the reality, you know, and 50 grand, holy crap. But I wanted the shut up check. And I was running and running and running. And I ended up getting hired at ClickFunnels, which was never part of my plan, to go build funnels for Russell. And all the while, though, I continued to build things on the side. I just knew that that's who I was. And so I'd go wake up at 5 a.m. and I would ride my bike many miles into, because we didn't have enough money for another car still. Or money we did have, I didn't want to justify with that. So I was like, I'm going to live lean. I'm living hungry. I want to stay hungry. And even now I'm hungry. I don't want to ever be satisfied. I don't want to become civilized. I want to stay hungry and feisty. And so anyways, I would ride my bike in and I was the first one in there. So from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'd work on my own funnels in Russell's office. And then from 9 a.m. when he came in to 6 p.m., I'd work with him. And then I'd go back home and, you know, we'd have dinner with the family and put the kids to bed, play with them a little bit. And then at about 8 or 9 o'clock, I'd keep going till about midnight. And then go to sleep for 5 hours, get back up at 5 and do it again. That's kind of how I did it. And that's similar to how I was doing it in college as well. So I was in college. I was married. We had kids. I was in the army. I mean, it was really busy. And so any discretionary time, I was conscious to make sure I would cut out things that were taking up stupid time, like Netflix, you know, taking out stupid time. Like, and so it's funny because especially for a long time, if you're still in the middle of the side hustle, like, I commend you, but like, it's funny. There's a guy who would always tell me, he's like, it's going to be this whole road, the whole game is going to be longer than you fear, but not as long as you think, right? It's going to be longer than you fear, but not as long as you think. I think that's what it was. And that really helps like console some of the early failures that I was feeling. So like, oh, that's right. This is just another one. This is another one. This is another one. This is another one. And as I look back now, the fact that I actually went through all that stuff is actually what makes me attractive to follow now. It was just like, bam, straight out of the gates, like it actually wouldn't be very appealing to follow me anymore. And so I'm actually super thankful for all those, the crap that went on and the extreme, super intense stress that went on, because it literally has made me be the hook. I'm the hook, right? I'm the attractive part of what I'm doing because of what I've been through. And when I publish that stuff and I talk about it and I do those things, it's like, holy crap, super cool. Really, really very helpful.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you said, hindsight's 20/20, and we are in the trenches grinding, and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We think that it's the road that we're on is just going to be impossible to get to the end goals, and it's just a matter of pushing forward. It's interesting because It sounds like a lot of these side hustlers, a lot of these entrepreneurs, they have the same kind of background. Because I know Sean Terry, and I've been through his and his.
Yeah, sure.
And
cool.
I've been through
some. Yeah, Clothier, cool.
The whole real estate deal.
And, yeah, yeah.
Coming from a strong Tony Robbins background, I come from building that state and really staying positive. But it's sometimes it's hard to be able to keep that momentum when, like I say, life punches you in the face. So it's really awesome that there is success stories like yourself. One thing I did want to ask you, and you pointed it out on your affiliate outreach program about now that you left ClickFunnels, they built a whole different department to do just what you did. So I want to hear about it. I mean, that's amazing. I kind of want to hear a little bit about it. Is there something coming big from ClickFunnels because of that huge change? And usually restructuring like that means something big, right?
Well, all right, when I first got there, this is how it worked, right? I literally sat 3 feet from him. We sat back to back, and it was interesting because I had two big monitors, and I plugged my laptop into them. And he has three monitors. I don't know how he does the three thing. I can only do two. It's too much screen space for me when it's three. But anyway, it was funny because like they were angled perfectly enough that when I would be sitting back and doing my stuff, over on the left one, it would reflect directly back into his monitor and into his I could see his face and he could see mine in the monitor, which like made it extra freaky because I was already such a fanboy of his before I ever got there. I was like, don't tell him you almost put a poster of him in your room. Don't tell him you almost put a poster of him in your room. Yeah, that'd be creepy. Yeah, don't say that. Yeah, and I was like such a huge fanboy. I was mute for like 2 months. I mean, I did not say a thing. I was like, this is like the guy. I mean, I can't believe he's right there. And every time I needed to ask him something, I felt like, is this a stupid question? Make sure you answer it as much as you can before you ask him. You know, make sure you know, don't be dumb. It's kind of like the Sandlot. Don't be a doofus. Anyway, so it's like high anxiety for a long time just because of the brilliance. So I would just sit there and get my work done and pushing hard. And my motto was to get one massive deliverable to him every single day, whatever it was, something huge, something that in his eyes, he was like, crap, you got that done today? Oh my gosh. And so it was this, I never took lunch breaks. I never took breaks. I think I'd stand up maybe like 3 times a day because I was trying to prove that I belonged in the room. And so I just run. And I took that same fighter mentality before getting there with all these side hustles I'd been trying, and things started kind of working. And then I started having these great successes for other companies I was building for, which qualified me to sit there. And I was trying to, massive deliverable every single day. And this is the way it always worked. The first thing I did is when I sat down in there, he would go, all right, Stephen, all right, today you're going to take the Funnel University sales page and on one screen, and then on the other screen take a blank ClickFunnels page, and we're gonna make it literally totally blank, just white. It's like, I want you to clone that page pixel by pixel, and at the end show them to me and we're going to see which one is mine. And I don't want to be able to guess which one's mine. I was like, oh crap, okay. I was already a good funnel builder, but there's a few like design elements that come into like helping sell well. And he was trying to change the way he likes things built out in like full width screen. He does not like columns, things like that. It was very small stuff, but he was fine tuning me. And so for a long time, I call him my Mr. Miyagi. He was like wax on, wax off. I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this, dude? Right. And there's all these little tiny things like that. So I would go and I would build. I remember I spent literally the entire day building out that original Funnel University page. It was a huge page. And at the end of it, I put mine up and I put his up. And the only reason he guessed his is because he hid some little CSS thin 1 pixel width lines like over on the side somewhere. I was like, are you kidding? Anyway, but he did little things like that with me for quite a while. And I would go and I would build these funnels out, and it was depressing. I remember like five months into it, I came home one day, you know, to our little apartment we were living in. And I was like, babe, I don't know if I'm going to have a job. What are you talking about? I was like, I spend 2 or 3 days building these beautiful, incredible funnels. They sell. They're awesome. But as soon as they're ready, like to go to Russell to get the final approval, he wrecks like 95% of them. Just bam, dead, bad. No. It's like, okay, you know, and for me, I'm like, look what I did. You know, it was like my 3-year-old. I felt like that's what I was looking at. Look what I made, Russell. And like, that's kind of like the mentality that I had a little bit. I was like, is it good? You know, and I'd pass it off to him and he was just, shoosh, shoosh. And he's not like a confrontational or, you know, so it was done nicely, but he would wreck it, just wreck everything that I had done. And I'd go back to the drawing board and I'd make it again. And the next funnel, 90% of it was killed, you know. And like 3 months after that, I'd be at like the 70% level. Another 3 months, I'd be like maybe the 50% level. And it was like, it was only like the final 3 months I was there where I would walk up, give them the funnel, and from a design, a funnel structure, a copywriting, an offer creation, a traffic, like all aspects, he'd be like, hey, it looks good, man. Let me just tweak this one word in the headline. And I'd be like, yes, right? I was like, holy crap, like huge, long road, massive road. And it was mentally taxing. Every single day. I mean, I put so many hours, easily 12 hours a day in the editor for 2 years, easily. Way more than that usually. And that was just for Russell's stuff, right? Then I come back home and keep doing it on my own. And so for the most part, like when I was there, so back to your question, I would go and he had fine-tuned so many little things in me and then put me on stage and started fine-tuning me on his stages and then fine-tuning me over here with podcast stuff. And then and I didn't realize that he had done that much. And I don't think he did either, honestly. I was just very observant and I was trying to always deliver like crazy. I wanted to be making a company like sickeningly huge amounts of money, more than they were paying me. And I wanted it to be just painstakingly obvious. So I, that's what I did. Anyway, so when I left, Russell and I were really the only funnel builders. What was interesting is like contrasting from the time when I first got there to the time I left. When I first got there, it was literally like he and I, and that was it. I mean, he had like one other designer he'd sometimes go send things out to, but like I knew enough Photoshop and enough Illustrator and enough video editing and enough this, enough that, you know, like audio editing, stuff like that. Like I geek out about that stuff as well. And I'm pretty good at several of those platforms, not all of them, that I was the one making the creatives all the time, always also for the majority of, for a lot of the things that were in there. Bigger projects, no, he'd go bring in some other people, stuff like that, but like there was nobody else. And by the time I left, there was a copywriter that was dedicated. There was a you know, dedicated front end coders. There was dedicated, you know, videographers, designers, graphics people, audio people. And so it turned into more of this role where I was still the one putting it all together. Russell would draw it out and he'd be like, hey, remember the page from this funnel a year and a half ago, that second upsell? I'll be like, yes. He's like, hey, that page mixed with, okay, the third upsell and the downsell from that funnel. Remember that like 2 years ago from that obscure thing you did? Like, oh yeah, okay. That page, let's do that page with this upsell. And then the front, like it was super granular. Like, okay, this first page, the top section, we're going to grab it from this funnel. Okay, remember that bottom section, we're going to grab it from that one. And it was like, it was really interesting way to start learning funnel building. And so by the time I left, they decided to just kind of make it official and create just an in-house agency. So there's nothing else big that's coming in that area, except I know they have like a funnel Rolodex coming to kind of make a directory and a little ecosystem, which is extremely awesome. I'm super excited for that, but it's just an in-house directory. It's not for anyone else. In-house agency.
That's amazing. You've come a long way. I know when you left ClickFunnels, you left with literally nothing and build a whole new business by yourself from the ground up and you earned your own 2 Comma Club Awards with that. So that being said, what are the biggest pitfalls of creating wealth to watch out for? Something that would really help the side hustlers in our audience. What are the 3 biggest pitfalls?
Yeah, and just to clarify, so I have a 2 Comma Club Award for the original 2 Comma Club Coaching Program. My current funnel is only 8 months old right now. It doesn't have one yet, but it's close. I'm super excited about it. It's just a matter of time. We put $1 in and get $2 out, so that's the magic formula. So it's just turning it up. That's what we're doing. As far as pitfalls, I think the first thing that people need to understand is that wealth means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. Wealth does not mean dripping with cash everywhere you go. I think it's a combo of money and time freedom. One of my favorite books is the book 4-Hour Workweek, because he brings up the argument that most of us continue to work just because we don't know what else to do outside of work. We literally don't know ourselves enough of what we are like outside of work. And so he says, so I just went through this exercise because I'm starting to get down to that where I'm like, hey, what can I do? So I started writing it down. Like, what are the things that I want to have? What are the things I want to do? What are the things I want to be in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months? And I listed out specific things, just like 3 to 5 of them under each one of those, and went through this cool little exercise. And it's been really, really eye-opening because I'm now at a spot where my wife and I are actively trying to design lifestyle, not just cash flow. And the cash flow part, like, we're doing great. It's the, eventually you get to the spot, like, cause for me, it's always been like, right, if we're not going to eat, I'm not going to go design lifestyle. You know, I'm running out cash, baby. Right. And there's a time now where, like, this is the first time, and it's super cool. It's like the first phase where, like, I'm going to keep running. It's my nature. I'm going to keep pushing hard. It's my nature. But, like, man, I really want to go do jiu-jitsu. I really want to start doing Tough Mudders. I really want to start, you know what I mean? Like, there's these things I've wanted to do that I've just put off because I have been building systems. And for such a long time, I've been the business. If I walk away, the business dies. And for a brand new hustler, I wish someone had taught me that, right? There is a huge difference between you being able to walk away with cash flow still running and you having to stay in order to keep cash flow running. And the issue, like, there's a podcast episode I did a little while ago called Good Cash, Bad Cash. I was talking about, I wanted people to know, because I know a lot of people follow me are hustlers and I appreciate that, which is awesome. But, like, I want people to know, like, all money is not good. Right. And not all opportunity is fantastic. And one of the things that kept me from success so many times in a row for years was that I was equating number of opportunities with success. More opportunities equals more success. And so I would just say yes to stuff that was cool, exciting, legit good opportunities. I want that. Oh, another one. Oh, I want that. Oh, no, I want that. I think I was managing like 8 things at once. You will not ever make it like that. And nobody ever does. And so one of the things I had to realize was, first of all, like, cut everything away but one. It's one of the hardest, most painful things an entrepreneur has to do. It feels like people are going to take away your ideas. That's not true at all. You actually get to execute faster because of it. So cut everything away. One of the fastest ways to wealth, or getting cash flow, at least the first step, just don't do more than one thing. One funnel. That's it. One funnel. One business. There was a guy I was building funnels for down, it was actually when I was in college, and it was one of my first biggest successes for somebody else. I wasn't charging him much money. I just wanted to get my story and prove to myself and others that I could do it. And so I went and I found a client that was geared for success. Like, it was super likely I would win because I found, you know what I mean? If you're like working with startups, be prepared to have a long, 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 long road that's very painful. If you are working with established businesses, way easier to blow them up, way easier for you to get cash flow. And so I stopped working with new businesses and I started working with established companies that had a list already, that had a mid-ticket price product. So I only had to get a few sales a month to really increase their revenue and make me look like a rock star. I got really specific on who the kind of customer I wanted, and I went and I got them in. And then when I got them in, I decided that what I would do is, anyway, I needed to blow them up. And I did. And I went and I did all the research. I did the ask campaigns, built the funnel up. We did the campaigns. We launched it out, and, like, bam, huge amount of cash. And I've had this happen several times now. Day one, they call and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Look at all these sales coming in. Holy crap. This is, you're a rock star. I'm like, what's up? Day two, they're like, wow, this is a lot of sales. Woo! Little, okay. Day three, they're like, okay, can we, like, turn this off just a little bit? And I was like, I was new. I was like, why would you want less sales? Click. And I stopped answering the phone for a while. I was like, why would you ever want less? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I stopped answering the phone for a little bit. Pretty soon I got, like, this furious call from the CEO, and he's like, dude, turn it off. I was like, what are you talking about, man? He goes, you are going to bankrupt us. And I had never considered up until that point, this was like 4 or 5 years ago now, that there was a stark difference between a funnel and a business. And for a long time, the funnel just brings the revenue in. But the business is what supports the funnel. And for a long time, the thing that was getting me stuck as a hustler was that I was the business. I was good at putting the funnels together, or whatever your revenue stream is, getting you know, the sales coming in. I was great at getting those kinds of things coming in. But for a while, like, I never realized the relationship between those two things. And so if you're brand new, and like the thing that, another thing, I know I'm kind of like just talking, but like the thing that, another thing that can really, really keep you down besides just having one thing is not finding systems to replace you. So find someone to do support for you. Find someone to do fulfillment for you, right? Find someone to do like basic structures of every company, regardless of whatever you're selling. It does not matter price point, doesn't matter what industry. You're going to need someone to fulfill on it, someone to sell on it, someone for supporting it. Figure out what those systems are, and it will begin to replace you and pull you out of your own company. That is when you get to a fun phase, because now you're no longer, you're not tied to the thing anymore. Now I can literally go in and I can say like, hey, look, anyway, it's one of the reasons I launched Affiliate Outrage was because I'm trying to teach people how to get cash to come in on products that aren't their own. It's like training wheels for marketing. That's why I like affiliate marketing. It's like training wheels. I'm trying to help people understand that like the product is not the thing that does the sale, right? And people get distracted by the product. And they say I don't have the product yet, Steven. I can't launch yet. I'm like, you don't understand what makes cash turn then, right? The product is not the reason people purchase. They purchase because of the sales message. And that's why I like affiliate marketing, because you can skip the whole pain of putting a product together and just practice creating sales messages to sell someone else's thing. It's like training wheels for marketing. And that's why I like affiliate marketing. That's where I got my first dollars coming in. But when you have, it's like business, you understand what I'm saying? Like if I go back over here to like a funnel is not a business thing. Okay. With that in mind, a funnel is not a business. The issue is that, if I come in and I treat every customer differently, if I acquire every customer in a different manner, if I fulfill every customer in a different manner, if I support every customer in a different manner, if it's a different process every time someone brings in a support ticket, if it's a different process for every package I'm shipping out my thing or whatever it is that you're doing, you don't have a company. You don't have a business. You are the business. And if you leave, it dies. And so I got really good at saying no to bad cash. Bad cash, meaning I had no systems for it. And so I got really good. That was honestly the turning point for me when I realized like, hey, I'm just going to go for that revenue source only. And do I have the structure to actually support that revenue stream? Last Funnel Hacking Live, I had the opportunity to sit with Tony Robbins for a little bit on a couch, which is really cool. That's why I'm wearing this hat. He's wearing this hat. And I was like, that's cool. Fandom or whatever, but I'm going to wear that. And, I was like to ask myself, how can I have larger cojones in this moment right now? And I was like, I could pitch Tony Robbins. Okay. So I did. And he said, yes. I was like, can I build a phone? And he said, yeah, I'm really interested. And he told me about the company. He told me what he's doing. And this is back in like March or whatever. And as time went on, it was going to happen in a few months. And I realized I should not say yes to that. Even though he did, I shouldn't. And it was so conflicting because it's Tony Robbins, right? I'm like, you idiot. Why are you saying no, right? And it's because of the principle I just described that I did not have enough systems in my current cash flow to support it if I walked away and built for this. I'm not going to do a crappy job. I would literally drop everything to go build a funnel for a guy like Tony, right? And we've done projects with him in the past when I worked at ClickFunnels. So I was like, this would be cool to do it outside of. But like, I'm not going to, you know, it's got to be awesome. And so it would have literally killed the other revenue streams that I had coming in if I took on that other cash. And that's the thing. I know I've said that multiple times from multiple angles now, but it's because I'm trying to help, like, man, what I pat myself on the back for is like, I got some serious stamina, and most side hustlers do. And we learn it out of necessity and out of hunger. But if you want to just get right to being able to be successful, stop saying yes to everything, get the revenue stream proved out, and then build systems to handle all the stuff inside of the company to make it run so you can step back. So we're in a really exciting place right now for one of the funnels that we've got going on, because like, I'm almost at that spot. I only spend an hour a week on it, and it pulls in a lot of money because of the systems. I am no longer the business. I'm no longer the systems. I'm not the guy attorney. And what's funny is that when you actually make the systems happen, it's actually a better experience for the customers because it's consistent. You can actually measure and track and tweak it and get it better. So anyway, there's a super long roundabout way for me to say that. But as far as wealth creation, understanding you can't say yes to everything. It's better to say no to pretty much everything except for one. Just knee-jerk reaction. I don't even care what it is anymore. I don't even look at the thing anymore. I'm like, nope. Not my plan. I don't care how good it is. I'll give you $1 million. Someone offered $1 million for funnel. I'm like, nope. They're like, are you kidding? Like, nope. Why? Because it's not my business. It's not my business right now. I don't want to take that on because it will kill what I've already been doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also going in and understanding as far as wealth goes, for me, wealth is money and time freedom. And so what I focus on is I create the revenue stream, I build the business underneath it, and then I dump profits into another asset. And when my assets start buying assets, that for me represents wealth. If my assets, like if I'm doing affiliate marketing, I never take profit from affiliate marketing. It was training wheels. All right. The 30-day book launch that just happened with over ClickFunnels, I'm not taking any of that money. I'm dumping all of that back into throwing a sweet event where I can upsell stuff. Right, when the asset creates the asset, major wealth that way. And I think people take profit too quickly. I didn't pay myself in this current business for like 3 months just because of dumping everything back in. So anyway, that answer your question? I said a lot of stuff. Oh, I'm keep going.
You actually answered another question that I had, which was the number one way to speed up the success towards journey towards wealth. But you absolutely answered that on focusing just on that one thing. I think it was focusing on one thing and focusing on established businesses and not new startups. So that's amazing. That's something that I myself, and I'm sure everybody relates to, all side hustlers do. We're all go-getters. We all want to do things. And a lot of times we end up taking on more than we're actually capable of handling. And we kind of spread ourselves kind of thin. I know that happened to me. Yeah. I first ran into Russell at the 10X Growth Con earlier this year. And cool. I didn't make those $3 million in 90 minutes. So unfortunately at that time, I didn't have the money to invest in it. Sure. Shortly after that, as soon as I jumped on ClickFunnels, I started going every which way trying to build funnels for this, for that. And like you said, I fell in love with products and not the sales message, not the customer. So I spent literally the last 6 months building products that have no conversions. And then once I did it again, once the 30-day summit came out, I started following Garrett White, and then I started following you. I'm like, man, and I started spreading myself kind of thin already. Like, you know what? I need to do away with everything. I stopped following Garrett White. I still follow his principles, but I'm sticking to what your principles are, your 30-day plan. And that's the reason why we're having this.
Yeah, sure.
While we're on it, I actually, affiliate outreach, totally love it. The influencer contest, I wanted to touch base on that because you touched base on it on the affiliate outreach, and it's one of your strategies, and it's one that I would like to implement. And being that I have you on here, I want to announce it, which is I want to purchase your my funnel stash package and give it away on a free giveaway. So with your blessing, well, I'm going to move forward with that.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great strategy. Yeah. Whatever a person's known for, you take their thing and auction it off in exchange for contest. Big list building real quick.
Amazing. So is there one thing that I missed about creating wealth or anything that you would like to add?
Oh, man. Well, we've only been going for a few minutes. This is my favorite topic ever. So I'm sure. But any other specific things you want me to go over?
In case I missed anything, do you think I missed anything? can you tell me? Let me see. Where can they learn a little bit more about you?
SalesFunnelRadio.com, that's my show. Or Affiliate Outrage was built because I wanted people to be able to practice marketing itself rather than getting stuck inside of product creation zone and what actually sells. So Affiliate Outrage is a free program. You just go to AffiliateOutrage.com and it's like a 24-day program. There's like 17 gurus in there, and I asked them all to, they're all gurus of their own individual platform and modality, and I said, hey, could make a free course on and it's cool they agreed. I said, make a free thing, a little mini course on answering this question: how would you sell someone else's product with the platform you're the guru at? And so they created this individual little course, and then I teach how to do what they are teaching inside ClickFunnels and give all the assets for it. It's super in depth, but those are probably the two easiest places.
It sure is. It's an amazing product, and it's thanks, like man. Bible to me right now. So.
Thanks, man.
So I'd like to thank you very much, Stephen Larson, for sharing with us all your amazing insights. Thank you all side hustlers in our audience for joining us for this amazing presentations on tips, tricks, and hacks and tools to creating wealth that can help you massively improve your results. So thank you very much.
Hey, welcome back, podcast listeners and Alexa listeners. Man, so what do you think about that? Stephen Larson, man, he's amazing, super amazing. I know this doesn't have much to do with the Rio Grande Valley specifically, but if you're a small business, if you are an entrepreneur, whatever it is, if you're like me, a wannabepreneur, you got to tune into this guy. He's super amazing. He just the wealth of knowledge that he brings, and if you really pay attention to what he talks about as far as his journey, his story, what he had to do to be able to live up to, I want to say Russell's expectations, but more than that, it was his own expectations of being able to be the best at what he did. And that's why he did everything that he could to be able to clone all those websites and do them exactly as like Russell wanted him to do. And it's just super amazing the struggles that he went to get to be able to get where he is now. And it's like when I heard his story about him being in college and his wife eating just sandwiches for the past I don't know how long in order for him to keep going to school and finish his dream. It was like, oh my god, like you think that you have it hard and you think that you're going through some stuff and you think you're getting knocked down by life, but it's like other people have it so much worse sometimes. And it's just one of those things that you kind of take for granted a lot of times. And just so at the end of the day, is like his success story is just super amazing, and I hope that resonates with you, just because like I said before, it's 80% psychology and 20% skills. Yeah, the 20%, the skills is gonna make you, but this is the psychology behind it, the mindset, the drive to succeed is what's gonna get you there. So I hope that helps. Thanks for tuning in. I hope this you took something out of this. Thanks for tuning in. Again, my name is Eddie Picasso with This Week in the Rio Grande Valley. I love you guys. Peace.